So this morning, Jesus is doing something rather remarkable here. At the time of Christ, we have a scholar of the law coming up to test Jesus. And this scholar knows there's about 614 laws that they are called upon in the scripture, which was just the Old Testament. We don't have the New Testament at this time. That comes through the preaching of the apostles later. But the scriptures of the Old Testament presented 614 laws, which over the centuries came down to be summarized and then even given to us on revelation from Moses as 10 laws, 10 commandments, 10 precepts. And then Jesus takes those down to 2 today in the gospel. What's the greatest commandment of all 614, Jesus? And he takes them all and he boils them down to 2 commandments. The first being to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Well, you'll notice that commandment is the first 3 commandments of the Decalogue. The first 3 commandments of the 10 commandments are all in relation to God. To love the Lord your God, not to take his name in vain, and keep holy the Sabbath by coming to Mass on Sunday. All those are related to God. So that's the first tablet, if you will, of the 10 commandments. And then he says the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, guess what? Commandments 4 to 10 is love of neighbor, starting with honor your father and your mother, you know, try not to You shouldn't kill your neighbor. It's a commandment. Don't lie to them. Cheat them. Steal from them. Don't take their wife or their husband. These are commandments. They're dealing with our neighbor. And, of course, the mastery of that. I mean, Jesus had to have meditated for quite some time and really loved the law of God, to come down to that sort of distillation, to say that the whole law and everything the prophets did for thousands of years comes down to those 2 commandments. Do that and you'll live. And how's it going? I mean, that's really what he's saying, is like, how's it going? And you know what? I think on record, at least in the Bible, we have a history of the humanity really failing at these commandments. We fail miserably at them. Because, first of all, we don't even know what they are. That makes it hard for us. But, see, here's the deal. This is something that's really fascinating. The 10 commandments come to us summarized by Moses on 2 stone tablets. We know this. He comes down Sinai. And they're presented to us as propositions on stone. And it looks like those are commandments that are outside of us, and today we treat them as though they're foreign to us. And see, the church doesn't believe that for a moment. In truth, what those commandments are, they're written, as the prophets teach us, those commandments are written on our hearts. They're on our hearts. But because of our sin, we have become so ignorant of ourselves, our minds have become so darkened, we couldn't read those commandments on our hearts. And so God had to reveal them to us. And that's what he did. He revealed them to us. And we treat them as though they're outside of us and unrelated to us, when in fact, those are the very instruction manuals. That's the set of instructions on your heart and my heart on how to be human. And we treat them as they're foreign to us. You know, it's kind of like an acorn treating an oak tree like it's foreign to itself. Oh, no, I don't want to be an oak tree if the acorn was to say that, or I don't want to do that. Of course, the acorn doesn't have any freedom to resist becoming an oak tree, that's what it becomes. It doesn't have a choice. See, that's the odd thing about us in our freedom. We do have a choice. And we, as a result, can become very inhuman to each other. Right now, in the Holy Land, we've got people killing each other. We had a gunman in Maine this week just go on a rampage, killing people. And, you know, you're not even supposed to kill yourself, but he did that as well. I mean, you can read about this stuff in the paper. And the law, thou shalt not kill, is on the heart of every man, woman, and child that is ever conceived in the world, because that's the instruction manual set that the Creator builds into us on how to be human. Now, one of the things that happens when he reveals this to us then, all right, what it does is, it sounds kind of negative, thou shalt not. Well, I don't want to get into that world. I don't want to get into that world. So we ignore these things. But see, we ignore them to our peril. And it's not like when you just turn off the Ten Commandments, you know, that's religion, and we have separation of church and state today, so we can ignore those. Well, see, you're throwing away the instruction manual on how to be human. But the story doesn't really end there, and the scriptures testify to this, as does our Lord, of course. It's not only that those instructions have been written on our hearts, and we're not capable of reading them because of our darkened minds. Our will to accomplish them is also so weak, we fail. We were powerless to put them into practice because we were broken. That's what sin does. Sin breaks us. We say, well, I'm not hurting anybody. Yeah, but you're being broken down yourself when you sin, because sin is in humanity. That's what sin is. It's contrary to human nature that we sin. So I absent myself from the assembly of Mass. I'm sinning not because I'm breaking a rule, but it's an inhuman act. I'm meant to be in communion with the Creator, and I'm refusing. That's inhuman. Human beings, by the design of the Creator, are meant to have a relationship to the eternal. There's no other creature that can do that. Dogs are incapable of a relationship with the eternal. And yet here we are, capable of it, but we're kind of like ostriches. We have the wings to fly, but we never get off the ground. Because we refuse. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get into that. My God, that's religion. I'm with the state. And we become inhuman. And so God wasn't content to just leave us like that. What does he do? Well, guess what he did? He came down, the Son of the living God came down and became one of us. And he began to empower us in our human nature to fulfill these commands written on our hearts and follow the instruction manual on how to be human. That's what he did. That's what the incarnation is. And the greatest indicator, you might say, of being human is the ability and the power to love, because love seeks good. And it doesn't only seek it, it's willing to sacrifice for it in order for the maintenance of good in our world. My own good, which that main shooter was not too concerned about when he turned the gun on his own head, and your good, which that main shooter was not concerned about when he turned the gun on his neighbor. That's the antithesis. That's inhumanity. It's inhuman. And see, love of its very nature promotes what is human because it promotes the good. But it doesn't only promote the good, It empowers us to accomplish it. And I start to become human. Imagine that. See, the jury's out as to whether we're human or not. I know we're born human. I belong to the species called human. But I'm guessing most of us have had moments where we've come up against a world that can be rather cold and indifferent to you when you're suffering or going through or you can't keep up. I'm not concerned about you enough to help you along. That's your problem. It's about me at this point, and I really don't care about you. That's a cold world. We don't learn that from Jesus. We don't learn that from God. He didn't program us to be that way. First and greatest commandment, love the Lord, then my neighbor. I seek the good of my neighbor. I don't kill them. I don't lie to them. I try not to steal from them, etc. I want to promote their good, and I will even sacrifice for that. And see, this is what concerns at least me as someone who is trying to live this, is our culture, in the main, has pretty much said, you know, I want nothing to do with these commandments. And as they're saying that, they're treating them like they're out there when in fact they're right here. And then they say no to Jesus, who will empower them to actually fulfill what these things say, what these commandments, what's on your heart. He actually empowers us to get in the game. And the people that really refuse to do that are drifting. And they think they're free, but in fact they're slaves, mainly to themselves. They get all caught up in themselves. They're like down a pit. And they really are so down a pit, they can't even attend to anyone else around them, because it's really about me and not about you. And the world grows colder. And if there's anything we see, if you look at a cross, it's a man being given in love, even though we gave him every reason in the book to give up on love and finally just let go on us and say, I'm so tired of you people. And he never did. Never did. Never did. He never became violent going up Calvary. He didn't commence killing us. He could have. He didn't. He didn't wield his power. He told Peter to put the sword away. Peter, put that away. You're violating your humanity if you're going to start maiming people to free me. Stop that, Peter. And he gave his life for us. That's love. That's what love is. And that's what love does. And that love that Jesus demonstrated is on offer in the Eucharist. And we have so many Catholics saying, no thanks. No, I don't think I'm going to go to Mass this Sunday. And you know, with the love that is on offer from this altar, if I'm going to be indifferent to that, there's something wrong with me. If there's so great a love on offer from this altar, and I'm going to be indifferent to that, that means, that says something about me. That's my poverty. I mean, sure, I can be rich in material terms and have a lot of material goods, but if I'm indifferent to this kind of love, there's a poverty in my life. It's bankruptcy. That's what that is. And that's where we are today. The world is colder for the way it responds to the love on offer to us in Jesus Christ. And I'm not, I hope you can understand here, I'm not just talking about fulfilling a rule and it says, well, I have to go to Mass on Sunday. It's a rule, and well, if I don't, it's all right, you know, the Lord will forgive me anyway. I'll break the rule at least this weekend. See, it's so much more than that. Catholicism is more than a set of rules. It's a relationship. It's a relationship of a man teaching us how to be human. But not only teaching us, he empowers us to be human this week. And we refuse to get in the game. Because usually when you do, when you step up, when you do finally realize this truth about our faith and you step up into that relationship, the first thing you start to realize is how much you stumble in it and how weak you really are to be human. And who wants to be reminded of that? I think I'll forget about it. Well, then you're not in the game. You're in the stands watching the rest of us go at it and growing basically lazy. Lazy, just sitting there watching someone else do all the work. I'm not going to get involved. I don't want to be reminded how weak I am at being human. And a lot of people can get hurt when enough of us start doing that. And what Jesus comes to do is invite us into the game. Get into the game here by demonstrating his love from this altar and eliciting a response. Is it a perfect response? Of course not. My whole life is aimed attempting at least, to offer an adequate response to the love that's coming to me in Christ Jesus. Because my life gets better when I can do that. If I'm going to be indifferent to love, the world in which I live at least becomes poorer because I've got a poverty in my life. It says something about me, that indifference. Brothers and sisters, we got to awaken. We got to wake up. We got to get in the game. Allow yourself maybe enough humility to say, you know what, I'm really maybe not doing so well at being human. And I want to get in there and start battling for this humanity that is ours as a culture. So let's bring it up a notch instead of allowing it to just drift down so many notches and the conversation gets so base. You just want to cover your ears sometimes. And we call that freedom? So Jesus comes today to elevate the conversation. Let's elevate it. To the higher angels, of our nature, instead of succumbing to the lower angels of our nature. And I would just conclude with this, and it is something I might have mentioned last week. It's something that it stunned me when I did this little exercise, and it stuck with me over the weeks since I've done it. Went through all four Gospels, and I looked at all the times where Jesus spoke. And I was looking specifically for three words, I love you. And you know what? He never said it. Jesus never said that. It troubled me at first when I noticed that. Like, he never says, I love you. And staying with that realization, I realized that God coming among us in Jesus Christ came to prove his love for us and not just talk about it. That's what he does. He proved his love. And so he didn't just talk about it, he didn't just say it. You know, a lot of times our words can be used to present ourselves to the world when there's a whole other thing going on behind the curtain. And like the Wizard of Oz, don't pay attention to that man behind the curtain. Look at this. It's our presentation of ourselves with our words, and our words are empty. The one time Jesus wrote anything that we know of for sure was when he was presented by the Pharisees with a woman caught in adultery. And the scriptures say he wrote in the sand, which tells us something about words. They can be pretty empty. Deceptive. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Well, with our words, we can bear false witness a lot of times. Jesus will never do that. And he's asking you and I not to do that, because your words become meaningful when there's a life behind them. And that's your life. Your life. That's the one life you're responsible for. Yours. And Jesus is calling each one of us here to step up and put a life behind those words that are so casually emanating from our mouths so often. Demonstrated love, proven love, is on offer in this altar here. This is Jesus coming to you, proving his love for you. When you come up today at Holy Communion, mean it when you say, "Amen. I believe you are the Son of the living God. Jesus, I welcome you into my life. Help me this week. Get in the game and become human."